Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 400, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord is God is stayed. And what follows, Psalter 400, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Samuel 16, the first four verses, and 2 Samuel 19, the verses 24 through 30. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, has suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Samuel 16, the verses 1 through 4. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O King. 2 Samuel 19, the verses 24 through 30. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. and he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them, that it eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has gathered us and our children by renewal on this Lord's Day within the walls of thy house. And then in this evening to be given to reflect upon what has transpired in this morning, our post-communion service. May it be a post-communion for thy people indeed, with humble hearts, and that the high praises of God may be in their mouth. And then it is pleased thee in this day that thou wast given guests, and then in this evening also by renewal to examine concerning that wedding garment, how it is with their gratitude, and may thou grant some after gleanings in this evening hour to reflect how it has been at the table of the covenant, how it has been concerning the broken bread and the poured out wine. The greater part of the confessing members have remained in their seats, and thou knowest most perfectly each heart. Thou knowest how it has been in each heart in this morning hour, O Lord. Wilt thou convert the unconverted? May there have been souls who in this day have bitterly cried unto thee, begging of thee, that they may be converted like thou doth convert all thy people. Lord, remember those souls when they were caught in the thickets of unbelief. Thou knowest what a questions, what a riddles, what a perplexities, providential trials there can be. Thou knowest whether there were those souls, as that Canaanitish woman, with a holy and vehement desire, oh, even if they may receive a crumb from the master's table, even to receive a place under the table. Ah, Lord, there can be the fear of man. And as a Ruth, where she had said, may that precious confession of a handmaiden, but she has confessed that she was not as the other handmaidens. Lord, Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit. Impress upon all our hearts that we need to be saved. We need to come to a saving knowledge by the work of thy Holy Spirit, of thy dear Son as the Savior, as the surety, as the way back to the Father. Lord, remember our boys and our girls and our young people. Thou also knowest how they have sat in their bench in this morning hour. Oh, may there have been those that have sat with such a holy jealousy with a prayer unto thee, the living God, that they may belong to that blessed people, to be washed and cleansed from all their sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless thy word in this evening hour. May it be for conversions. May it be for instruction. May it be for comfort. And may it be for correction when necessary. Bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Bless thy holy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou help the teachers to that end, so dependent upon the application of the Holy Spirit. We commend unto thee thy church upon the face of the earth, all those that labor therein, thy servants, elders, and deacons. Remember the student in this day. Wilt thou help on the mission field thy servant and the team? Remember the Jewish people, and, Lord, do remember and uphold the persecuted church. We commend unto thee our sister denomination in the Netherlands, where there hopes to be a beginning of their general synod. Wilt thou dwell amongst them? Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding in these trying and difficult times, that it may be to the welfare of thy Zion? Remember the nations of the earth. Wilt thou also remember our poor nation? Remember our province, the premier, and all the governments of the cities, also of our little town. Oh, may it please thee to pour out thy Spirit upon young and old, where thy word has no place, that it may receive a place, where there is error, that it may be replaced with the truth. And, O Lord, do bless us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. We commend unto thee a young couple who have been united in holy matrimony in the past week, and another couple hope to be united in the time to come, O Lord. They both need the same. They need thy blessing. They need thy help. Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire that goes before them? May they be marriages for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, our elderly ones, the care home, the residence, with those that may lovingly care for them. and remember all under the physician's care with pain, weariness, cares, concerns, and fears. Well, to grant them a place at thy footstool, may the means be blessed, and may the callings be sanctified. Well, to remember the handicapped ones, remember the difficulties of the body and those that are struggling with weakness of the mind. Well, to remember the family circles, may love abound in the midst of them. Well, to keep our families together, and what has been separated, well, to bring it together, according to thy holy word, bowing under and bowing before thee. Remember those that struggle with temptations and addictions. May they be given to cry unto thee and use the means. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, may it please thee to open thy word. Give the leading of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou remember all the hearers? Remember those that are lawfully hindered in their homes. When they may listen along, oh, do grant them a blessing. Remember all who have come up to thy house, oh Lord. Go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance when there are those that would not? Wilt thou also remember them that they may come to themselves? May so our eyes be upon thee, the living King, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Ride then triumphantly upon the apparel of thy holy word. Lord, it is sent away, undeserved, forfeited. Wilt thou grant something of the centurion of old? Unworthy that thou would come under our roof, but, O Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou hast promised that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May that be experienced in a special way. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 248, the stanzas 1 through 5. And the man who once has found abode within the secret place of God, as shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. And what follows, Psalter 248, the first 5 stanzas. Thank you. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour, then we are called upon to reflect what has transpired in this morning hour, whereby renewal the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ was administered in our midst, and that it was heard, all things are ready, and the Master calleth thee. And then it is pleased the Lord to grant guests. And then it is necessary in this evening hour for the guest, in the first place, to be given to examine that wedding garment. What is that wedding garment? That consists of justification and sanctification. That is a wedding garment of repentance, of faith, of holiness, and of true gratitude. Then the guests are called to reflect how it has been at the table, and what a privilege and what a blessing it is when there may be guests that may tell what has went before, what has taken place with the administration, the broken bread and the poured out wine, and that it also grants special exercises thereafter with that true bewonderment and with that thanksgiving, with the vehement desire that the Lord may receive all the honor and the glory. The greatest part of the confessing members have remained in their seats. The Lord remember the unconverted. May I ask you, my unconverted fellow travelers, to that never-ending eternity, how have you sat in your bench, and how have you spent the day? Were you driven to a secret place, and that you have cried mightily unto the Lord, an impression, traveling to eternity, and we need to be converted, we need to be saved. It can be in the life of souls that a reflection service is a very difficult service, still a blessing when there may be such souls. There can be riddles, there can be perplexities, there can be questions, there can be providential trials, can be caught in the thickets of unbelief. There can be souls, as with the Ruth, that have made that good choice, cannot deny what the Lord has done. Oh, with that Canaanitish woman, if they could only receive a place under the table to receive those crumbs from the king, but they are given to say, as with the Ruth of old, an handmaiden, but not as the other handmaidens. May it please the Lord to grant the further leadings. Ah, that manslayer may come, that avenger, and that you may be driven to the city of refuge, and on the other hand, to be drawn further, to be given to say as an Esther of old, in Esther 4, verse 16, So I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, then I perish. Better to perish at the feet of the king than to perish outside of his presence and outside of his communion. Oh, for a people to need the pledges of that golden scepter, the broken bread and the poured out wine. And this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for 2 Samuel 9, verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Our text words speak a lame Mephibosheth dwelling in Jerusalem for Jonathan's sake, with 3 thoughts. First, the blessedness, and notwithstanding this lameness. Secondly, the continual experience of this lameness. And thirdly, the bitter fruits because of this lameness. A lame Mephibosheth dwelling in Jerusalem for Jonathan's sake. The blessedness notwithstanding this lameness. The continual experience of this lameness. And the bitter fruit or the bitter result because of this lameness. Thus first, the blessedness notwithstanding this lameness. Then we have heard in this morning and the past Wednesday evening of the blessed matters that David has spoken to Mephibosheth in verse 7 of 2 Samuel 9 in the way of promise, because there we read, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Then concerning that restoring of that land, that speaks of a restored inheritance that a Mephibosheth had lost. And so in the life of God's true people, in our deep fallen Adam, we have lost God's image. We have lost the inheritance, because in the covenant of works, then it was promised to Adam eternal life, but we have sinned it away, and now the wages of sin is death. But now through the greater Jonathan, who has left his father's habitation, who has come upon the earth, then he shall restore that inheritance to them by his active and by his passive obedience. When we think of the justification of the church, then Reverend Hellenbrook has given a description. It is to be acquitted of all of our sins and receive a right to eternal life. In Luke 23, then we read of that thief on the cross, and when he has asked the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, Then Christ has declared, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thus the blessed portion of those true Mephibosheths, the true people of God, through the meritorial work of the greater Jonathan. And then the second blessing, that they shall eat at my table continually. And then in the verses 9-12, there David has spoken to Ziba, and we do not read that Mephibosheth, we have heard that he has bowed himself, given to declare the wonder that David has looked on such a dead dog as he was, thus a bowing Mephibosheth, but in his presence. Then David has declared unto Ziba concerning the executions of those, the execution of those blessings. And then we read Ziba, a Saul's servant, that he had 15 sons and 20 servants, and that he was to farm the land, and that provision was to be brought for Mephibosheth. Thus that speaks of the wonderful providence of the Lord concerning the church, that their bread shall be given them and their water sure, does not mean it shall not be tried, many times tried very deeply, and nevertheless, in our type, the wonderful provision, then Ziba as a servant, given to serve the church. Then we also read that he had a young son, Micah, which means, who was his God, that a son was also provided for. And we read in our text, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. That was the holy city of God, the city where the Lord has made a name. That was a city where Mephibosheth was dwelt, that he was administered from David as king. In the second place, then surely David has also instructed Mephibosheth even at his table concerning that covenant with Jonathan. And then in Jerusalem was the place where the ark was, where the offerings were to be brought, where the blood has flown. Thus that concerns that priestly office. And now for Mephibosheth, he simply had to trust the word of David and live out of the hand of David. What an easy and a simple life. And then Mephibosheth called to trust. When David has also left for business in his kingdom, wherever David was in the absence of David, when he was not given to see his presence, then simply to be given to trust on what David has promised him. That speaks of true saving faith, and in the life of the church, that is a gift of God. The church experiences that everything comes from above of themselves. They can bring forth nothing but unbelief. Oh, with their understanding, they can try to comprehend it, and they can try to speak about it. But now to be given to experience it, that childlike faith, and for Mephibosheth to be continually at the Lord's table to receive his provision and to receive instruction, and especially concerning that covenant what was made with Jonathan, our second thought, the continual experience of this lameness, because we read, and was lame on both his feet. Concerning that lameness, then we must speak of sanctification. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, according to God's word, the difference can never be separated, but it must be distinguished. Concerning justification, that concerns the guilt, and sanctification concerns the pollution. A justification that is a work outside of us. We have heard from 2 Samuel 9 that David has spoken, but sanctification is a work in us, but both by grace. Then further, justification that concerns the state, and that is the relationship we stand before the judge, guilty or acquitted, but sanctification that speaks of the condition. A justification is perfect, and so the state of Mephibosheth was confirmed, that he would be as the king's son and eat at the king's table continually, we would say an adopted son, where we read in Lord's Day number 8, between the natural Son of God and the adopted children. And now concerning that lameness, that concerns the condition of the church, and concerning that sanctification, that is only in part. And when we speak of that lameness, that is an offense for the Pharisee and for the hypocrite and of the nominal Christendom, because they are not troubled what we have heard the last Lord's Day evening concerning the confession of the fifth petition, poor sinners, and that depravity that cleaves unto us. When we speak of Romans 7, there are theologians, many in our day. When we point them to Romans 7, then they shall try to tell us that Paul was speaking of his aforetime when he was still unconverted. But when we read the book of Romans, then it is clear, first, the misery of man, the saving, the justification of man, and then sanctification. And the Apostle Paul, what did he write to the church in Romans 7? Then we read in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present, but how to perform it I find not. For the good that I would, that I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." But then in verse 22, that he delighted in the law of God after the inward man. It was his desire to live holily before the Lord, and that he may be given to praise his God. And then that lamentation, and that is not strange for the true child of God, where he has written in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But then not a period, "but I thank God through Jesus Christ." And now Mephibosheth, with everything that he has received, with everything that he has experienced dwelling in Jerusalem, in the city of King David, then it is added, and was lame on both of his feet. Also necessary and profitable that the church, each time by renewal, may be kept small and humble, be given to remember their origin, and that they become not proud, each time by renewal, humbled, and that there may be a fleeing to that fountain that is opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I have read that someone has written of the peacock. Know what that is, right, boys and girls? That is a beautiful bird with those feathers and a fan-like shape. And that man has witnessed, whether it is always or whether he has seen it once, it is not written, but he has simply written that he has witnessed when a peacock looks downward and looks at his ugly feet, then those beautiful feathers come down, whether it is always, we leave it lie. But what an instruction and what a work the Lord has to keep his people low, humble, each time by renewal, how dependent, and that it is grace and grace alone. For Mephibosheth cannot be different, that it was a great and a sore grief. How unprofitable he was for David, we have mentioned in this morning. He could not work the fields, the vineyards, could not be a soldier to fight the king's battle. Oh, we had to confess, an unprofitable servant. And yet, Mephibosheth was required to do what he could do. Could not walk, could not run. He could still fold his hands. To make it simple for the boys and girls, perhaps get on his knees and do weeding, vegetables, clean them and prepare them. Thus Mephibosheth was still called to do with his lameness what his hand found to do. And now concerning the lameness of the church, we have mentioned some matters. It is a blessing because, people of God, we can use our lameness as an excuse. We can speak of it, confess it, be reformed, but that godly sorrow and that true grief is missing. There's a blessing when our lameness, when it may become our grief, when it may become our sorrow, when it may become our guilt, because the Lord has created us perfectly in paradise, in his image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, the jewel of creation. For Adam and Eve there was no lameness. Oh, many things for the church to confess. Lameness, concerning their desires, prayers, thanksgiving, performing of good works, lameness concerning the petition of the Lord's Prayer. What a privilege it is, a blessing, when each time by renewal that our lameness may truly become our guilt, and that we receive a low, a humble place at his footstool with a confession thereof, with earnest prayer that the Lord may restore. We have heard from Psalm 23, verse 3, the first part, He restoreth my soul. For Mephibosheth, the consequences were very bitter in his life. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 351, the stanzas 1 and 2. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies. As servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise, until his mercy he displays. And what follows, 351, the stanzas 1 and 2. lay Mephibosheth dwelling in Jerusalem for Jonathan's sake. The blessedness notwithstanding this lameness, the continual experience of this lameness, and now thirdly, the bitter consequences because of this lameness. There came a time that David's son Absalom has risen up against his father, and that David, with many followers, was given to flee Jerusalem. We have heard from 2 Samuel 16 that Ziba has terribly slandered Mephibosheth, telling that it was the desire, the intention, that the house of Saul, the kingdom, would be restored to Mephibosheth. The question is whether Mephibosheth was totally guiltless in the matter. Matthew Henry, he has written in his commentary only this: David knew that Mephibosheth was not ambitious. Another commentator has written, perhaps David had some suspicion of loyalty already. And another commentator has written that it is impossible for sure to say if Mephibosheth was guiltless. We can understand that for Mephibosheth, we shall, in an historical way, that there has come a very difficult time for Mephibosheth. Many questions and many riddles concerning David. What a high calling for the child of God that they do not give offense to the little ones. Christ has spoken of that offense in the beginning verses of Matthew 18. What it must have been for Mephibosheth when he has heard that the king has fallen into great sin, taken Bathsheba, Uriah was murdered, and how that many difficulties have come. Oh, a child of God, they sin not cheap. The Lord has sent the prophet Nathan, that his sins were forgiven, but that the sword would not depart from David's house. What a trials with Absalom, with Abner, with his children. And then it cannot be different that many times that even King David would not be present at the table with his sin and with his troubles, that Mephibosheth would not be instructed, would not experience that sweet communion, and very well possible that in that time that Mephibosheth perhaps oftentimes, even with his lameness, the lameness was used many times that he would be at the king's table, that he was not given to say that he was too busy with his fields and vineyards. But undoubtedly in that time, that Mephibosheth has not come so faithfully to the table. And now the time has come that David has declared to his servants that he must flee from Jerusalem. We read in 2 Samuel 15, verse 14, "And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise and let us flee." In verse 16, "And the king went forth, and all his household after him. But the king's son was not present with David and with his company." And we do not read that David has inquired concerning Mephibosheth. Does that imply that when David and his servants have fled, that Mephibosheth, he was not in Jerusalem, but he was at a distance? Ah, the children of God, they know what it is. At that distance, further, if Mephibosheth had now experienced that sweet communion with David, it is possible that Ziba, that he has seen it, that Mephibosheth was not so faithful as sitting at the king's table, because otherwise, and it is true, a covetous heart, an envious heart, how far it may go in the way of slander and in the way of lying to gain our end. But if Mephibosheth now had that very close life with David, would Ziba receive the freedom and boldness to slander Mephibosheth? Is it not true in the life of the church, when the church does not have that close life, when the warning man, the admonishing man is missing, when they are not the light and the salt of the earth, then the world becomes bold. Further, we read, "Oh, Ziba," his name means statute, he hoped to come to David with his gifts to regain that inheritance. He has brought many precious gifts. And then David, when he is questioned, Ziba, we would think that he has said, "Where is Mephibosheth?" In 2 Samuel 9, we read that David loved to mention that name for Jonathan's sake. But when Ziba has come with those presents, then he did not say Mephibosheth, but then he has inquired concerning the master's son. And then in chapter 16, verse 4, then David, concerning Mephibosheth, That covenant with Jonathan, how tender. That life for David, oh David, all so much instruction Matthew Henry has written, that he has created us with two ears, and to that end we are called upon to listen to both sides of the story. But for a David in that week, let us say that Mephibosheth at the king's table, that he had broken down, the tears rolling down his eyes. And I'm not saying that it happens every week. What blessed times when the true child may be humbled under the goodness of the Lord. But if that had now taken place, let's say the day before, and it lies so tender, what did David then immediately have said to Ziba? All that I have promised many years ago, that is thine. Thus can be questioned whether Mephibosheth always way was through a deep way, but whether he was guiltless. We have a similar example in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. In verse 1, then the bride was given to feast with the bridegroom. In verse 2, the same bride, the bridegroom, as went on a journey concerning the kingdom, has returned in the night when the dew has fallen upon him. And the bridegroom has said, open my beloved, my spouse, my sister, my undefiled. What do we read in the third verse? That she has said, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. Shall I defile them? But then that bride, the same as with Mephibosheth, what a blessing for the church, when quickly their heart may smite them, because when the bridegroom has put his hand to the opening of the door, and that it was given to smell of myrrh, that refers to the meritorial work of the bridegroom, then she has risen. But then the bridegroom was gone. She was smitten by the watchman, as she has even sought the help of the daughters of Jerusalem. And they were daughters of Jerusalem that have been led a little further, because they knew what the bridegroom looked like. Then the bride has even asked the daughters of Jerusalem to help to search for the bridegroom that was gone because of her own fault. But now it is clear that Mephibosheth, perhaps dwelling outside of Jerusalem, that he has quickly come in the guilt. And to that end, as I but to saddle an ass, that he may be restored, that he may flee unto David. And now unto Samuel 19, then we read of remarkable things of a Mephibosheth that has truly come in the guilt, because we read, and it is remarkable, in verse 24, then we read, And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. That refers to the River Jordan. Undoubtedly, the meeting was closer to Jerusalem in verse 25. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, then it is remarkable that we do not read of an ass, but that Mephibosheth, he has come in such a guilt and such a need. Oh, when he has heard that King David was returning to Jerusalem, then it was his vehement desire to do homage unto King David. And how has he come? Then we have heard it, that he has come, neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Thus we would say, boys and girls, then Mephibosheth has come to the king, and that he was dressed in black as a mourning, as a sorrowing soul. And then it is remarkable that in the scriptures that we read, and Mephibosheth, does it say the king's son? Does it say the son of Jonathan? No, then it is written in the inspired word of God, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul. That proves that Mephibosheth, that he has come as a guilty one, that has forfeited everything, and therefore it is specifically written, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And then we read further that in verse 26, that he was given to explain what has transpired. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that is in verse 25, also instruction we have mentioned, when Ziba has come to meet the king, when David has fled, then David has said, where is thy master's son? The name of Mephibosheth was not mentioned except in verse 4, when it was that everything would be restored to Ziba. Then Mephibosheth was mentioned in the name of chastisement. But now, when a Mephibosheth has come as a mourning, as a sorrowing one, to meet the king when he would return to Jerusalem, oh, then we do not read of the master's son, but then he was given to say, oh, David was given to see the sorrow and the desire of Mephibosheth. And then David was given to say, oh, we have said it. It was the desire of David to mention that name of Mephibosheth. Oh, that covenant with Jonathan that lieth so tender. It was for Jonathan's sake that Mephibosheth has received the blessings. And to that end, when he has returned as a sorrowing one, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? Then by renewal, oh, David was given to mention his name. And then in Mephibosheth, he was given to answer, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame, and he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But the humiliation of Mephibosheth, the desire of Mephibosheth, that the king may be honored, oh, the desire for that communion, because then Mephibosheth has said, But my Lord the King is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. Do you hear, congregation, by renewal of bowing, a renewal of bewonderment many years ago has taken place in the palace when he was given to confess that he was but a dead dog. And with everything that has transpired, with the slander of Ziba, then a David was given to confess, do therefore what is good in thine eyes. And what else? Mephibosheth was given to reflect on the past, upon the blessings. What a special place for Mephibosheth to come. Then Mephibosheth, he was given to be wonder that he still had a place upon the earth, because he has confessed, for all of my father's house were but dead men. Then we read in this confession that Mephibosheth has not come to the king as a proud king's son, but as a guilty Mephibosheth, unworthy by renewal. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the King. Confession. My Lord the King, yet didst thou set thy servant, the choice, among them that eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? When we read it carefully, then it is implied that there was also guilt on Mephibosheth's side. And the true child of God, how often they experience their guilt, and what a privilege and what a blessing it is when there may be that restoration, that confession, that desire. We have said concerning histories and types, tis not perfect. David is a type of Christ, but only in part. And then we read, and the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. How are we to understand it? There are those that understand it literally, that David, for peace sake, that he has divided that inheritance between David and Ziba. Others understand it this way, that it would be returned as it originally was. It is true, the inheritance passed to Mephibosheth and his family, but Ziba and his servants, they were given to work the land, live off the land, and in that way it could be understood that it was divided. Arthur Pink, he gives this explanation, similar to Solomon with the two harlots with two children. The one was killed, exchanged. They have both become before the king, and Solomon has asked for a sword that the living child may be divided. Arthur Pink, he explains it, that it seems that David has spoken these words to test the sincerity of Mephibosheth. And we do indeed read the sincerity of Mephibosheth. what was the most important in his life. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. For Mephibosheth was not the fields in the first place, but it was the king, and that he may eat at the king's table. Further, Mephibosheth, he has experienced for Jonathan's sake in 2 Samuel 21, there was a drought. David has inquired, was because of the sins of the house of Saul. And then it was asked that house, what must be done? And they have said 7 of the house of Saul must be hanged. And then we read in that chapter that there was another Mephibosheth. He was hung. But it's specifically mentioned in verse 7 that David is spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan and of Saul, because of the oath. Mephibosheth, blessings, eating at the king's table, has experienced that lameness sorely, the bitter consequences, but he has remained with the king. For the living child of God, oh Mephibosheth, shines forth in 2 Samuel 19. It was the desire that his master, that his king, would be exalted to the highest with thanksgiving, that he may experience that sweet communion and eat at the king's table by renewal, and was lame on both feet. Shall be a time, shall not be here below. 'Tis a blessing, mark of the true work, when there may be sorrow concerning that lameness, when it may become guilt, when we may be given to flee to the fountain of blood. But there shall come a time when it shall all be done away with. That shall be the day, it's true, the last enemy in the life of a child of God. But at the day of their death, do we believe it, people of God? At the day of their death, oh, hear also concerning thanksgiving, then what a shortcomings, what a sin, and what a guilt. But now concerning that lameness, I read in Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, at the end of this service, we may thank Thee that Thou was given in other Lord's Day, where both the audible and the visible gospel may be administered. May we be given to examine each of our hearts, how it has been. Well, to grant meditations. Well, to grant supplication. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we may commence another week. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou spare us, wilt thou provide, protect, care for us, keep us from harm and danger. Wilt thou remember the mothers in the home with the children, remember at work, remember on the way, remember at school, remember our youth who are studying in institutions of higher learning. Oh, wilt thou graciously watch over them. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. Make us more busy in the busyness of life with the things of the Lord, more exercised with the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou then grant humble and broken hearts. Wilt thou graciously provide on the coming Lord's Day in the midst of the congregation and also abroad. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies. May we be given to meet one another at the throne of grace. Wilt thou now graciously bring us to our dwellings. Watch over us in this night. May there be those souls where a Job of old has declared, but where is God my maker who gives psalms in the night, Lord? Glorify thy great and worthy name in the midst of us and our children. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 426, the stanzas 7, 9, and 10. What shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of his consolation? With joy I'll take the cup of his salvation and call upon his name with thankful vow. And what follows, 426, 7, 9, and 10. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.